Good morning. Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope. We're coming to you from Dallas, Texas, Herb's house. I'm Steve Lawson, and as always, Kent Steinbeck at my side. I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to be finding Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verse 9, and the title of this devotion this morning is How to Pray, because it's critically important that we know how to pray. And so I want to read just verse 9, the first part of verse 9. That's what we're going to be looking at. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, says, pray then in this way. Kent, from this, I think we need to understand it's important not just that we pray, but that we know how to pray. And that's why Jesus says, pray in this way. He's not saying we're supposed to memorize the Lord's Prayer and just repeat it back to God. Though if you memorize it, that's wonderful. And if you repeat it back to God, that's great as well, but that's not the point. Jesus does not say, pray then in these words. He says, pray in this way. And what he gives us is really a structured outline for how to pray. These are the steps that should lead us through our prayers. And we supply the specifics as we move through each successive point. These are laid out in a certain order that is very logical and even theological. And so we're going to be looking at this over the next several episodes. But I just want to dive down into this. And Jesus, the very first word says, pray. Pray then in this way. It's interesting, Kent, this is not in what we call the imperative mood, which would be a command like pray. It's in the indicative mood, which means it's a statement of fact, meaning it's assumed that if you're a Christian, you're going to pray. I mean, if you're alive, you're going to breathe. I don't have to tell you, Kent, breathe. if you're alive, you're going to breathe. And if you're a Christian, you're going to pray. It's just implied and assumed that every Christian is so dependent upon God in their Christian life that we're going to be taking everything to the Lord in prayer. And also more than that, that we're going to be praising the Lord in prayer. So that's what Jesus is saying. Pray then in this way. Now, this also indicates some other things, that we should be praying constantly. This is in the present tense, and it implies, or more than implies, it's saying that we should be always praying. Jesus will say later in the Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 7, and in verse 7, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. This is our human responsibility. And there's a progression here from asking to seeking to knocking. And these are all in the present tense. So keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And he gives the reason why. Verse 8, for everyone who receives, for everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. And so here we see this ongoing emphasis on prayer, here even in the Sermon on the Mount. No one else can really pray for me in the ultimate sense that this is my personal responsibility. Now, you can pray for me, and I'm to pray for you. That's called intercessory prayer. However, I have, and every believer has, the personal responsibility to go before the Lord to the throne of grace and to enter and to pray for what's going on in our Christian life. Now, he says, pray in this way. And I've already talked about it. Doesn't mean to just repeat this back verbatim to God. In verse 7, he says, do not use meaningless repetition. And yet, how many people do that with this? Don't use meaningless repetition. And then he says, suppose they will be heard by their many words. Verse 7. No, it's not the length of our prayer that counts. It's the precision of our prayer that counts. It doesn't matter, Kent, how far you hit a golf ball if it's off target. you need to be on target, and the Lord may lead you into longer prayer. But sometimes the best prayers in the Bible are shorter prayers that just hit the target immediately. And so as we begin looking at the Lord's Prayer, and we'll be looking at it in future episodes, we see here that Jesus is teaching how to pray. The disciples only asked Jesus how to do something one time, and it was this. In Luke 11, verse 1, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Because they understood when Jesus began to pray, things began to happen in his ministry and in his life as in his dependence upon the Lord. So, Kent, this is Jesus teaching us how to pray. So well, talk to me.
Well, Steve, I've just been thinking actually this morning earlier about prayer in my own life and how I need to pray more.
Yeah.
And my first question is, I think for our listeners and for all of us, just since we're starting out on prayer, give us a definition of what prayer is.
Yeah, no, wow, thank you for that question. I should have clarified that. Prayer is simply talking to God. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have the formality of the these and the thous. You don't have to be concerned about your sentence structure and this and that. Prayer is simply talking to God, just like you and I are talking to one another right now. There is a conversational tone about it. Now, obviously, we're talking to the maker of heaven and earth and not just to one another, so there's a certain reverence and a certain worshipful attitude that we're to have. But in the simplest terms, prayer is simply talking to God. It is praising God. It is humbling ourselves to God. It is bringing our petitions to God. It is confessing our sins to God. It is seeking God's will for my life, asking God to make this known, to guide and direct me, to lead me away from temptation, to deliver me from evil.
So follow-up question. Then prayer is anything. We can talk to God about anything. We don't need to hold back or say, well, I'm going to keep this for myself. But it's everything?
It's everything, Kent, because God knows everything that we're thinking. He knows everything that's on our heart. He knows what we're going to say before we even say it. Psalm 139 makes that very clear. And so, yes, there's nothing too small, nothing too big, but that we should bring it to the Lord as it would be impressed upon our heart.
All right, I got another question.
Yeah.
Our great friend S. Lewis Johnson, you remember just a
of course I do.
Huge man of the faith. I remember one time we had gone on a golf trip, and I may have told you this story, and we were actually spending the night in the same hotel room, and he said to me before we went to bed, "Do you want to pray?" And I said, "Of course." Well, he got out of his bed and got on his knees next to his bed and prayed.
Yeah.
And that has always impacted me. But I guess the question is, do we need to get in a certain position to pray? Do we need to be on our knees? Do we need to be at a certain place? How do you view that?
Yeah, Kent, good question again. God is concerned about the posture of our heart, not the posture of our body.
Right.
So you can be on your knees and pray. You can be standing up and praying. You can be driving in your car and praying. You can be jogging or walking and praying. You can be in bed, laying on your back and pray. You can have your face buried in the ground and pray. Whatever would facilitate your heart to pray to God. But the body is secondary. What's primary is the heart, and that was the whole issue with the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was emphasizing a religion of the heart. And the Pharisees wanted to stand on the street corner and pray and be heard by everyone else. And Jesus is stressing what's important is where your heart is, not where your body is in a public intersection. It's where your heart is. So I'm so glad that you brought that up, Kent. Wherever you are is a great time to pray. Well, thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope. I hope this will be an encouragement to you to seek the Lord today in prayer. We look forward to seeing you in our very next episode. God bless you.